Hello and welcome to the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. It's our first ever podcast. We literally have no idea what we are doing, but we're going to try and make it enjoyable, entertaining for you. I'm here with Bear Tycoon.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to get right into it because you don't really want to know much about us. You want to listen to us talk about Cadgers football, maybe? I hope.
That's why you're listening to this.
I think that is, unless they clicked on the wrong podcast and now they're super confused. We're just going to dive right into it right now. And the first thing we wanted to go over and talk about this year was last season. Not really go in depth on last season, but kind of just an overview of what we thought, how the season went, and what we can maybe expect going into this year because of how last season ended. So I was just going to start out with Bear Tycoon. What did you think about the Grizz year last year?
Yeah, Nate, it was a up and down season. So if you remember going into 2016, Grizz fans had a ton of optimism. In 2015, they won against North Dakota State on ESPN. They won Cat Grizz, and they made the playoffs. Going into 2016, we thought we were going to build upon that success, and we kind of did. It started out the season 5-1. We had huge wins over Northern Iowa, who was number 3 in the country. We beat the defending Big Sky champs Southern Utah, which towards the end of the season was less impressive, and we beat St. Francis, which we laughed at the beginning of the year, but they ended up making the playoffs.
And don't forget that win against Mississippi Valley State. I mean, that was a big one.
Jerry Rice, the juggernaut, is rolling over in his grave. If you were
dead. He's not dead yet.
That's how bad the win was.
That's how it was bad. 67-7. That was brutal. I felt bad for him.
We often see these Southern teams coming up into Missoula, and we think it's this huge advantage. And then it's a close game, or the Grizz lose to one of those Carolina schools in the playoffs. And I was kind of worried last year, but the Grizz took care of business against Mississippi, whatever. Yeah. around October, though, the wheels started to come off, and the Grizz dropped 4 of their last 5 games. They lost to a lowly University of Northern Colorado team. It was terrible.
Nobody should ever lose to Northern Colorado.
The first time the Grizz lost to them since they joined the Big Sky Conference. And they lost to an even lowlier Montana State Bobcat team, which we'll talk about in more depth in a moment. But, you know, Grizz fans have a lot of conflicting thoughts in their head about why this happened. Is it that Bob Stitt is such a great coach in the off season, and he can put in these systems that are tough to coach against? He has these early wins against big teams, but he's easy to figure out and slow to make adjustments. That's one possibility. Or, you know, we heard all these things about the locker room falling apart and big divisions between the offense and defense. I don't know what the heck happened, but it wasn't fun to watch as a Grizz fan. You always want to end the year on a high note, and that's kind of what the Montana State Bobcats did.
Definitely. And I think that was such a huge end to the season for both teams. I think it showed that not only were the Bobcats rising towards the end of the season, but that the Grizz were not as good as everybody thought they were at the very beginning of the season. I think if you remember, one of our contributors wrote an article about how the Grizz were going to win the national championship last year. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I remember that vividly.
I thought it was one of maybe the worst articles ever written. I mean, not style-wise, but just the subject matter. And I told him that every day after they lost 4 in a row, so I loved every second of it after that. But, yeah, there's a ton of optimism at the beginning of the season. I think it all stemmed from that Northern Iowa game. Even I was surprised when they beat Northern Iowa like that, and I was a little nervous for the season, thinking I was going to have to listen to Grizz fans all year. They're going to make the playoffs, all this stuff. And that one scared me as a Cats fan. And then the next week they came, they went down to California and got beat by Cal Poly by 1. And, you know, that kind of evened everything out, I thought, in my mind. But then they went on a 3-game winning streak. I mean, not good, great competition, but they kind of got back on that stride. At one point they had scored like 135 points to the opponent's 14 in back-to-back games. That's ridiculous.
I remember. Yep.
Yeah, and then they kind of ran into that October swoon against NAU, Eastern, Northern Colorado, and then the mighty Bobcats out of Bozeman. So yeah, it was a interesting year all the way around for the Grizz. But I guess you could say the same thing about the Cats season too.
Absolutely.
And you know, go ahead.
I was going to say the Cats, you know, they went in last year with kind of low expectations, the new coach, shaky quarterback situation, and they had a bad record. But I went back and looked at some of these games, and the Cats, you know, they lost some really close ones, including they lost by 3 points to FBS Idaho. It was a bottom of the barrel FBS team, but still an FBS team.
They won a bowl game last year. They won a bowl game.
That's right.
And they were not as bottom as everybody thought they were going to be.
And they're soon to be a Big Sky team, yes. Which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. But the Cats also lost a close one to North Dakota. They lost by 2-17 to 15. And North Dakota ended up being the conference champ. So if you look at these games, plus the win over the Grizzlies, like the Cats had a decent season.
I agree. And even in October 1st of last year, I was at this game at Sacramento State. Choate finally benched Brugman and put in Murray. Probably midway through the second quarter, if I'm remembering it right. I had quite a few beers at the tailgate and snuck in some to the game. But I'm thinking that it was at that point where I saw kind of the future of our quarterback position, but I also saw that the Cats couldn't stop anybody anymore. They only allowed 17 points to North Dakota. The next week came down to Northern California and let Sacramento State put up 41 on them. And Sacramento State was not a good team last year. I mean, that was a bad loss coming off of a moral victory, maybe you could call it, against North Dakota. But I think that's where I realized that 2016 was not going to be like this miracle season where they run the table and make the playoffs. They had some huge issues, and one of them was trying to run a pro-style offense that was catered to Brugman, with Murray coming in, who's going to be the most electric player the Cats are going to have for the next few years.
Yep.
And trying to see this difference in the offense they were running, and that's when you knew it was going to be a rebuilding season in every sense of the word.
Yeah, I remember that Sacramento State game. A bunch of us were up at Scotty Mint's wedding, and you were providing us text updates from the crowd. And once Murray got in the game, a bunch of us snuck into the back dressing room of this wedding venue and were watching like a crummy feed of the Cat game. But Murray was electric. I think he rushed for close to 200 yards, and you know, the defense spoiled what was otherwise a special game.
It was. And he had his growing pains too. He fumbled going into the end zone on one possession that probably would have put the game away. I mean, he was like 17 years old, I think, when he started this game. So, but it was just so much fun to watch this player come in, electrify his teammates, electrify the crowd. He wasn't going to sit back there. And I mean, that Brugman offense was maybe one of the most boring offenses I've watched the Cats run for forever. I mean, when you get Cramsey in there with Prukop when we had him and all that, and then this Brugman kid comes in. No, I mean, I'm not trying to talk down on him, but man, that was the most boring vanilla offense I've ever seen. So when Murray came in, I think that really changed the look of the team. It gave us, as Cat fans, some optimism throughout the season, but it definitely did not turn into wins until, of course, the last two games of the season.
One of those, of course, being against the Montana Grizzlies. If you remember, I mean, that loss was devastating. The Grizz had a slim hopes for the playoffs if they pulled off a win against the Cats. They were heavily favored. I think they were more than 2 touchdown favorites going in. But folks that and all the numbers pointed to the Grizz winning that game. But folks that watched the Grizz a lot last season were worried. And if you remember, I wrote a column about being a Grizz fan who, despite all these metrics saying that the Grizz are going to pummel the Cats, I was worried about this game. And it turns out, you know, I had a reason to be worried. And it's easy for a Grizz fan to like take this loss and default back to, you know, well, we've won 8 out of the last 11 and 25 out of the last 30. And, you know, overall record is 71-38 and some ties in there. But a loss is a loss. And last year's Cat Grizz hurt a lot for Grizz fans. As a Cat fan, how did it feel?
I mean, obviously, that was maybe one of my Well, I've seen five, I think, in my lifetime, five wins against the Grizz. Probably this one ranks up there, right? When I was a freshman in 2003, when we beat the Grizz at home that year. But this one was amazing just because we came in, you know, the Cats, I think this was the first time we saw the Cats come in with a chip on their shoulder. I think Jeff Choate finally verbalized to everybody who's a Bobcat fan, to his team, how important it is to beat the Grizz. Ash never really came out and was like, that's one of our goals. Like, he was just like, it's another game. I don't think he got the rivalry. I don't think he knew how much Bobcat Nation, how much they hang on this game every single year, no matter if they're undefeated going into it or have zero wins going into it. This game defines the whole season most of the time. And absolutely. So when Murray completes that pass to, I believe it's Connor Sullivan, to end that game, that was, I've never been so happy as a Cats fan, probably. the excitement I had kind of ranks up there when New Hampshire banged an extra point off the upright and we got to go to the second round of the playoffs a few years back against Sam Houston State. Like, just that immediate euphoria, and I was like, holy shit, I cannot believe the Cats just won this game. But I think Choate finally was the coach that came in and understood how big this rivalry is, and he got his kids ready to go out there, and maybe the Grizz were looking past them a little bit, you know, coming in with three wins, one of them over a Division II team, I think. And Choate got them ready, and they came in, you know, withstood the Grizz's first punch in the face on that touchdown pass. That could have absolutely ended the Cats' game right there. They could have got down and out. You know, they're down seven real quick on one pass from Gustafson. But they came back, withstood that punch, counterpunched, and really took it to the Grizz in almost every facet of the game. Mostly rushing, not passing actually, but you know, two completions, but they ran for 418 yards. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, to the Cats' credit, your guys' defense, like we talked about earlier, gave up a ton of points to Sacramento State and a lot of other pretty crummy teams, but you held the Grizzlies to just 17 points that game. And you know, that if you can do that, you're going to be in the ball game to win, and they did.
And I'm surprised that they left Gustafson in that long. He looked so uncomfortable that game. That first pass was perfect to Justin Calhoun, I think. That first pass was just ridiculous. 58 yards, and then he did not look the same the rest of the game. I don't know what Choate saw on film that they made him uncomfortable, or what the you know, secondary did to tighten up. But that was something I don't think anybody saw coming in terms of the Cats just shutting down that offense. But it was sure fun to watch as a Cats fan. And I think the biggest thing about that game, regardless of the bragging rights you have for a full year, is the momentum it brought into this next season with just Cat fans just chomping at the bit. We wanted to get back out there and play another game the next week. We would have loved to have the playoffs, because I think that win with a brand new coach that's, you know, kind of as rah-rah and exciting as Choate is, really, really got the fan base energized. And, you know, I mean, I can't wait for, you know, this weekend for the Cats to come out and play their first game since that win, just because of how massive that win against the Grizz was.
Yeah, and of course, the flip side is true for all Grizz fans. Super devastating. It's something we've been thinking about since November, and that is why I think it's probably a good opportunity to start talking about this season. We can put 2016 behind us and look forward to the 2017 season. Okay, so Nate, I think you and I can agree on two things. I'm obviously a big Grizz fan. You're a big Cats fan. We both think those two teams are going to be fairly average this season, but I think we can agree that Montana is going to start out the season 2-1, and Montana State will likely start out 0-3, and it's based completely on the teams that they have on the schedule. Do you agree?
100%. I mean, that's when I look at it, I don't like ever to say that the Cats are going to, you know, lose a game against another Big Sky school because you never know what's going to happen. Just like Cat Grizz last year. I mean, that's one example. But, shit, look at their, that schedule that the Cats have to start off this year is absolutely ridiculous. When you go to Pullman against a top 24 FBS team, you come home for Gold Rush at 6 p.m. under the lights where everybody's jacked up with their yellow shirts on, which, by the way, they need to come up with some new Gold Rush shirts. Get someone in there like that can get a cool-ass logo on those shirts. I cannot stand those Gold Rush shirts, but that's another story. So we come home, we play in Bozeman against South Dakota State, who I think, are they number four right now in the FCS?
Number four
in the preseason FCS. We know preseason means nothing. I hate preseason polls, always
will.
They're
a good school.
They're great, but it's a good team, regardless of if they deserve to be four or not. They're number four right now. That's going to be a tough game. And then you go to Grand Forks the next, or 2 weeks, you got a week off there, but 2 weeks later you go to North Dakota, defending Big Sky champs. And what are they, nine in the FCS right now in the preseason polls?
I think they're number eight.
Eight or nine,
and
yeah.
They are, yeah, they're predicted to win the Big Sky again.
Like, I mean, that is a gauntlet to run through. Coming out your second year as a head coach and show your second year having a true sophomore, I still think he's like 18 years old, quarterback at the helm, and you're coming out with that. That is going to show you what kind of team you have, regardless of if they win or lose. It's going to show you the guys, the character you have on the team, and a lot of the talent you have on the team, what you're going to be looking for the rest of the year. But I mean, that is about as hard of a schedule as I bet anybody in the FCS this year opens up with.
Well, we'll get to a few others with tougher openers in a sec, but I mean, you're exactly right on the Cats. It's unfortunate because we're not going to know much about them until the end of September. September 30th, they have a home game against Weber State.
Homecoming, yep.
That is the first time we're going to really know what the Bobcats are. We know they're going to be 0-3, but they might be good. And they're still going to start 0-3. The Grizz, you know, they start at home against Valparaiso. Probably never heard of them.
Valpo.
Because they stink.
The Crusaders.
They then, in week three, play someone called Savannah State. Also really terrible. And sandwiched in between there, they have a game against a top 10 FBS school, the University of Washington Huskies. And they are just going to get stuck.
They're
going
to get their asses kicked. I mean, that's actually a scary game if I'm a Grizz fan. Like, yeah. In that stadium, that's like a 70,000-person stadium against a team that went, you know, right against Alabama in the semifinals of the playoffs last year, and you have to go out there and try and go up against that. I mean, good luck.
And you just hope that they stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... It's you know, the pros playing Little League in terms of size and speed difference. It's a different ball game. The Grizz have a solid roster on both sides of the ball, but you just hope they survive this game without a major injury. If Reese Phillips gets concussed or, you know, someone goes down with something, is it worth the big payday that they get for going to Seattle? I don't know, and we probably won't know for a couple weeks. So Grizz start 2-1. Then they get into Big Sky play, and I have some concerns about their schedule. So I'm going to list off these teams: Eastern Washington, Portland State, Weber State, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, Montana State. Some really good teams in there, historically good, some historically wishy-washy teams in there. The one thing they have in common is that over the past 2 years, played the Grizzlies over the past 2 years, and each of them beat the Grizzlies. And if I'm a Grizz fan, I know that these are going to be tough games, and they've proven to be tough games in the past, and that worries me. So the Grizz could conceivably, you know, go 5-1 in this schedule, but I don't feel confident in that. I think they're probably a middle-of-the-pack team overall, and that's in the preseason poll, the Big Sky preseason poll. That's why I voted them number six, and that's where they sit. Like, they're... It's nothing inspiring about the Grizz.
Can we talk about that for 1 second, though?
Yeah.
That they actually gave Montana Mint, our group, 6 votes in the preseason Big Sky media poll.
I'm putting this on my tombstone.
Six.
It is a lifetime achievement of mine, the fact that we have 6 votes. I don't even know how many votes there are. There's probably only 8 votes, but we got 6 of them. So
I have no idea how we got this, by the way.
If Nate wins a poker game at the next Montana Mint meeting, you might see 6 first place votes for the Bobcats at some point this season.
We could do anything we want to this poll.
But we won't.
And I highly doubt that anybody who has any pull with these polls is listening. So that's the fun part is, how did we get this? We have more votes than the Billings Gazette, the Missoulian, and every other beat reporter out there for every other Big Sky school.
It's incredible. We won't mess with it.
It's amazing.
But we could.
We won't mess
and
with
we might,
it.
And
we might. We could. We might. We won't do it. We won't, though.
So, Nate, you mentioned Bobcats tough schedule coming in, toughest schedule in the league. I went through a lot of the Big Sky teams and their upcoming schedule. The problem with September for Big Sky Conference fans is that you're either a cupcake or you're playing a cupcake. That's the majority of September for Big Sky football. And these are the schools that are playing 2 FBS teams. Idaho State is playing Utah State and Nevada to start the season. Eastern Washington is playing Texas Tech, and then North Dakota State, who is basically an FBS school.
Basically, yeah.
Northern Colorado is playing Colorado, and then Florida, which might be the biggest discrepancy in college football history.
They're not going to have a team. They're not going to have a team after that.
And then Portland State plays Oregon, and they already played a game against BYU, and hats off to Portland State. They lost that game.
They gave them a game.
20-6. So they held an FBS school at 20 points. That is pretty impressive.
Yes.
So those teams, that's just brutal. Eastern Washington against North Dakota State and Texas Tech. My God, they're going to come in. They might be the best team in the Big Sky, and they're going to come in with those 2 losses early in September.
Well, shit. Eastern Washington went out to Wazoo last year, and they kicked the Cougars in the teeth and won that game.
Yeah.
So, you never know what Eastern can do when they go down to Lubbock and play Texas Tech. Eastern is a team. We don't know what they're going to be like under their new head coach and all of that kind of stuff. But, if they're anything like the Eastern that they've been the last couple years, they could give Texas Tech a game. I know they don't have Cooper Kupp anymore. All of that makes sense. But you can't count out Eastern anymore, I think, when they play up a division just because of what they've done when they've played FBS teams. And then NDSU, look at the Grizz got them a couple years ago. Eastern can go out to what is it, Fargo and get them. So
yeah,
of all those teams, I think Eastern has the best shot of coming back with a win or 2.
Northern Colorado has the worst shot.
Northern Colorado has the best shot at ending their football program for 2 years because of this game.
I have a feeling the coach might get hurt.
This is not even why would you do this to your team?
It is. They beat the Grizzlies last year, huge momentum for that crummy little program, and now they're just going to get their teeth kicked in.
Florida, who scheduled that? How much money are they getting for that?
Not enough.
Not enough. And that's your program, dude. You're going down to the SEC, and how many people from Florida have even been close to Colorado, I wonder.
None.
Let alone playing a team from Greeley. Teams from Greeley are not supposed to go to the SEC and play a game. There's no way.
Someone from Florida once asked me if Montana was in Denver, meaning that they thought Denver was a state and that Montana was a city within it. These guys have no idea what Colorado is, and this game will be such a disaster. It won't register with them afterwards either. On despair, we were talking kind of about the Big Sky Conference and how a lot of teams are fairly equal. One stat that jumped out at me is over the past 2 years, 7 different teams have made the FCS playoffs, but no team has made it twice in that period. So there's a lot of decent football being played.
Wow. Yeah.
And, keep in mind, Montana State was not one of those teams either year, but maybe this year is their year.
Maybe. We can only hope. We need a... The nice thing about this, I think, is that Cat Grizz game last year gave Choate some wiggle room on the rebuild of this program. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any MSU fan is going to come up to you with a straight face unless they're like one of those, you know, unbelievably diehard who thinks they can win every single game and this is the year they're going undefeated. I don't think anybody can come up with a straight face and think that we can expect playoffs this year. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, did McGee turn Murray into this ridiculous passing quarterback that can also use his legs? We don't know. If he's anything like McGee in this over the summer, if he turned into the next coming of Denarius McGee, the Cats are going to be a good offensive team this year. But
for a long time.
That's a lot to ask. For a long time. And that's a lot to ask from an 18-year-old, though. So I think, playoffs is a long shot. I think you have to look at, you know, just getting through this first part of your season and seeing what you have, the character of the guys you have, and kind of rolling with it from there. And, you know, if it comes down to it at the end of the year and it's another one of those 3-7 seasons when you get into that, you know, Cat Grizz game and you win that, there's that momentum again. So I think that's one awesome thing about the Cats and Grizz schedules. We always end up playing each other at the very end of the year, and you can salvage a season and really get that momentum into the off season or lose that momentum. But
yep.
Man, I don't know with this Cats schedule, I don't see playoffs this year, but I'm unbelievably excited to see the team that we have and see what Choate has in store for his second year.
Yeah, and look, 2 years ago, no one thought Southern Utah was going to be a playoff team, and they won the Big Sky. So who the heck knows?
True. Very true. I just want to be realist, but I guess in my heart I have this optimism that I really, you know, really think the Cats could come out and surprise some people, that my brain's like, you know, you've been burned before by the Bobcats. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Like, there was a time when we were number one in the nation with the Grizz coming to play us at home, and all hell broke loose and we lost that game. And so, I mean, it could go either way. I hope it's an inverse of that, where we come into the season not with a ton of expectation, but maybe rise above that and surprise some people. You never know. It'd be fun.
Never know. Why don't we talk about their first game against Washington State?
So let's get into the first game of the season. Finally here, Montana State traveling to Pullman, Washington to play the Cougars. This is going to be a rough game. The Cougars are currently ranked in the top 25 in the FBS. They return a quarterback who's on most people's Heisman watch, Luke Falk. He's thrown for 38 touchdowns each of the last 2 years. His quarterback rating is sky high. This dude throws 650 passes a year. This is an air raid offense. This is a Mike Leach offense. And it scares the absolute hell out of me. Based on our last 3 years of secondary play, that we have to go up to Pullman and play Luke Falk, who could have gone pro at the end of last year. I'm scared. What do you think? I mean, like, what would you think if you're going in and playing a Heisman candidate quarterback?
Well, I mean, as we mentioned, this is a defense that gave up about 700 points to Sacramento State. I'd be worried. I was shocked that the line is only 22 points. Washington State's only
I was trying to look that
points.
Up today and could not find it. It's 22.
22. I would have guessed it was.
I would have guessed higher. 50s. Yeah, I would have guessed. I wouldn't have gone that high. Jesus. I mean, 50s? I was thinking 20.
What do you think the final score would be?
Shoot, 50 to 21.
Okay, well, it feels like it's going to be a big score. I feel like it's going to be one of those 60 to 7 games. Just Bobcats will get a touchdown somewhere along the way, but Washington State is going to roll over you guys. And you know what? It might be okay. Like, who cares? You're going to get a big paycheck out of this. It's going to be a nationally televised game, and most importantly, our very own hot take Nate is going to get a trip to Pullman, Washington.
I am going to the game. Montana Mint did not pay for this. I don't get any stipend or corporate card. I'm doing this on my own. But yeah, this game has been on my calendar for like 3 or 4 years. I've wanted to go up there. I have some great friends who went to Wazoo. And, you know, we went up to Washington State September 11th, 2010. Denarius McGee, I believe he was a freshman that year. Cats were winning that game. Ended up throwing a pick six, I think, at the end of the game. Cats lost by 1 to Washington State. Now, Washington State back then was bottom rung FBS team. They were horrible. That was pre-Leach. Yeah, Leach got there in 2012, I believe. 2013 or 2012. Pre-Leach, Wazoo was not good, but the Cats went up there, scared them to death, almost got them. This year is not going to be that same way. These guys are an experienced team with, obviously, like I said, Luke Falk at quarterback. It's going to be a rough game, I think, but one that I'm still excited for. I love playing up on these games. I love, in the last 11 years, the Cats have played up 10 times. Actually, the last 12 years, the Cats have played up 10 times. They won that game down in Colorado in 2006. So, you know, I still have that hope that, you know, we can go into Wazoo, and you never know what can happen. But, you know, I'm not really predicting a win here, but I think it's going to be fun to watch. And like I keep saying, I think it's like the third or fourth time I've said it, like every Cats fan just wants to see football again after that Cat Grizz game. So I'm excited to get up there to Pullman and check this out, check out the atmosphere and kind of gauge the pulse of Bobcat Nation heading into the year.
And look, Washington State, first off, just want to be clear, you're going to lose. But Washington State lost to Portland State in 2015 by a touchdown. Last year, they lost to Eastern Washington 45-42. This is a good team. This is a better team than those past 2 years. But it happens. A FCS team can knock off a team like this. At a minimum, we get to watch the Cats on a nationally televised game. It's on FS1, which is always kind of fun with the big-time announcers.
It is. And, you know, Mike Leach has not won a opener at Wazoo yet. He is 0-5 in opening games of the season. And like he just said, two of those games were the Big Sky teams. But that doesn't make me feel any better, because I believe that when you lose as a Pac-12 school, when you lose two games in a row to the Big Sky Conference to open up your season, there is no way in hell you're losing three in a row to the Big Sky. Wazoo is not looking past Montana State, I can tell you that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and tried to make a statement saying that, you know, they're not that team that the Big Sky can come up and beat every year, their first game of the year. But so I think the last two seasons is actually a detriment to the Cats this season, because Washington State is not going to lose three in a row to the Big Sky.
The fact that they've lost two in a row is insane, and I think
it is.
Our Mike Leach is going to improve to 1-5 in openers, almost no doubt. Do you want to talk about the Grizz and Valpo?
Let's do it. The Valpo Crusaders. Do you know what state Valpo is in?
I think Indiana.
You're right. It is Indiana. I had no idea until I looked up the Wikipedia page for the Valpo Crusaders football. There's not much on there because they are barely a team, it seems like.
They are barely a team. This is a team that offers no scholarship money.
The Pioneer Football League.
That's the
most exciting football league in FCS.
Over the past 4 years, they've only won 11 games.
It's not good.
In 2013, they were 1-10. 2 years ago, they were 2-9. Last year, they were commanding 4-7. But they're just not a good football team. The Grizz are going to roll over them. They should roll over them. If they don't roll over them, we know this is going to be a long year as Grizz fans. Valpo is returning some guys, like some of their bigger names, but I don't know if that's a good thing, being how dreadful they were.
Last year, total offense.
Oh, great.
How good can your returners be when you've won 9 games in 4 years?
Yeah, we're bringing back.
But you hope they leave so you can get more people. But you can't even offer scholarships. It's not like you're losing scholarships when you return. It's just, the hell is going on in the Pioneer?
It is incredible. So you're returning back these guys. Let me run through a couple of these rankings from last season. Keep in mind, there's 124 teams in the FCS. Total offense, Valparaiso was ranked 106th. Rushing offense, 110th. Total defense, they were 97. And then this stat jumped out. Red zone defense, they were 118th. Last year,
bad?
The Grizz, that is bad, bad. And last year, the Grizz, if you remember correctly, the Grizz had last year, they could not score within the 20. So this is going to be the bad against the bad. But I think the Grizz are going to come out on top, both in the red zone and in the game. I suspect this is going to be a similar score to Montana State and Washington State. Grizz coming away with, you know, I bet you Stick gets his second stringers in there, gets some reps, but I bet you the Grizz come away with a very, very easy victory. 45-10 is my prediction.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the Grizz are going to take it to Valpo. I mean, nine wins in the last four seasons. They play in front of 5,000 people maybe in Indiana. It's not really a football state. They're in the Pioneer Football League, which has to be the most boring conference in the world. I think Drake was in there. I think that's where Ash is from. They're not good. I think Grizz roll. It's at home. Everybody gets jacked up for that first game of the year, Washington Grizzly. It's going to be loud. Valpo's not going to know what the hell's going on when they're there. It's just another cupcake to open the season for the Grizz.
And, you know, you and I could pretend to talk about all the players coming back for the Grizz and all their top recruits, but we don't really follow the offseason that close. So,
I have a lot more thoughts. Yeah, we let those other people who spend a lot more time and are a lot more professional do that kind of stuff, and then we just read that when we have the time. So, yeah, we definitely aren't going to talk about the recruiting classes that are coming in because I think recruiting classes and the way they're ranked is on par with preseason polls where you're not going to know until everything's said and done. So why the hell talk about it before it happens?
Yeah, like,
why rank a recruiting class just based on what they did in high school? Like, nah, we're going to skip that. We're going to let, you know, all those other guys that do this professionally talk about that.
And I'll have some thoughts on these guys, the Grizz players, after I see the Grizz play a football game. I'm not going to get too fired up about a practice.
Yeah, scrimmages don't mean anything either.
Everyone looks good in scrimmage.
Well, that's bad. It's not good when you guys look good. I mean, when your offense looks great, that means your defense looked like shit. So it's like, which one do you want?
Yeah.
You don't want really anybody to look good.
That's a great point. So we're in agreement. Montana State is going to get stomped. Maybe they'll come away with a silver lining out of this game, but they're going to get stomped against Washington State. The Grizz are going to roll over Valparaiso. Agree?
I wouldn't use the word stomped. I think that Wazoo will. I think that Wazoo will get them as they should, being an FBS program. I'm not going to say stomped.
That seems fair.
They'll get them.
That seems fair. And you know, it's exciting. It's kind of a weird week to start on, but we got a lot of big things coming for Montana Mint this year, including podcast every Thursday. Got to sign up for our weekly email list that comes out every Friday, and we are going to try to live tweet every game this year. We're not tweeting the first game though, UM versus Valparaiso, because I have a fantasy draft, but every game from that point forward we are
you
live
know that your schedule game. Your first game of the year is that week when you're skipping the UM game to do a fantasy football draft. Like, that's, I mean, at least when you play up a level and you're up at the FBS, like, you still watch that game, even though you might get beat and you're probably going to get beat. You still watch that game, which is why I love when the Cats play up. But, man, you're skipping the first game of the year to do a fantasy football draft. That's how boring Valpo is as an opponent.
I'll be streaming it from my iPad, but probably won't be watching it closely.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got.
Oh, you know what we have to do, though? You know what we have to do? This is big.
What is it?
It's the Brock Osweiler watch.
Every week, we're going to be tracking Montana's own Brock Osweiler and his big, exciting NFL career. Nate, what's the update this week?
Not going to start the season at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
And that's the Brock Osweiler watch.
If you're interested in sponsoring the Brock Osweiler watch, hit us up. You know, we'll play your commercial right before that. We'll say the Brock Osweiler watch presented by whomever. So, yeah, just throw us some money. We'll put you on there.
Love it. Hi, man. This was fun.
It was great. And we're looking forward to doing this the rest of the season. And if you notice, our intro music today was from Bozeman's own Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs. You can check out their music at their website, thebird-dogs.com. Do not spell out hyphen. That is an actual hyphen. So thebird-dogs.com, and we're going to let them play you out. But thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Thanks, guys.